Kids for Kids Church, you can be dismissed. I'm sure we all have friends like that. Thanks, Jennifer, that awesome song. When I was pastor in Maryland, seems like a long, long time ago, and it was, we had a lady came to our church. She became pretty active. She had been praying for her husband, who played in a heavy metal rock band. Their son went to school with our youngest son, Tim. They lived in the same house. They were legally married, but really had nothing to do with her. He had taken his wedding ring and had thrown it away. 14 years they lived like that. We were at their house one night, and he was there, and I said to him, I want you to read the book of Romans, and I want you to read something else. And he did. In a few months, he shared that he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He went and bought a new wedding ring, and he and his wife were hand in hand at one of the sports events where he, their son, and our son Tim participated. 14 years she prayed for him. 14 years. And she didn't give up. So when you have a friend, don't give up. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the New Testament book of Titus. Pat Cadis is going to come and read for us. Would you stand for the reading of God's holy word?
Good morning, everyone. The reading of scripture today is from Titus 2, 1 through 8. What must be taught to various groups? You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us.
Amen. You may be seated. Thanks, Pat. Did you ever drive your car or truck with an unbalanced tire? Am I the only one? Oh, a few of you have. I used to have a 1956 Ford. That was my third car. I can remember driving on some of those back roads in western Pennsylvania at 120 miles an hour. Yes, it would do 120, and I had bald front tires. Not smart, but I did. And oftentimes the baldness was caused because the tires, the wheels were unbalanced. So if you've ever driven a car with an unbalanced tire, sometimes you just don't know it until it's too late. The tire wears unevenly, or the front end starts to wobble and shimmy. And I remember that old Ford at 120 miles an hour, it would be wobbling. And all it would take was a few dollars and a mechanic or a garage to put those little lead weights to balance those wheels so that it wouldn't wear uneven. But so often with an unbalanced tire, you don't know it until it's really too late and the tire is worn unevenly. An unbalanced life may not be detected until there is a major problem. An unbalanced life may not be detected until there is a major problem. In order to balance that tire, you must go to a good mechanic and have him put it on a balancer and make the necessary weight adjustments. Now, I know this may date me, but I'm not sure. I have not had any tires balanced, at least where I could watch them recently. But those little bubble balancers were like, level. They put it on his device, and the bubbles would come up and show you where the tire was unbalanced. Anybody remember those other than me? Okay. Now they do spin balancing, high speed with a computer readout, and a lot better, of course. And they still add the weights, but those high speed balancers are, quote, more thorough and accurate. How do we make sure that our lives are balanced? Well, our mechanic is the Holy Spirit. Can we use that metaphor this morning? Our mechanic is the Holy Spirit, and God's balancing machine is His Word, Scripture. And I've picked Titus 2 because I think it is a fantastic balancing machine. Not just a little leveler, a little bubble balance, but this high-speed thing that will spin our lives, and then there'll be this computer readout that says, you're out of balance here, no, you're overbalanced here, and this has got to be dealt with and corrected, because if not, we don't get it corrected, we're going to end up with problems in our lives. Webster Dictionary defines balance as to stabilize, to proportion properly, as there would be a balanced diet that I'm not part of, or balancing the tires on your automobile. So my purpose this morning is to examine our total life and see that the Holy Spirit will come and use us to make the necessary adjustments, balance in the right areas, that we would have a balanced life that really is a God-pleasing life that ultimately is for our good. None of us are immune to getting our lives out of balance. And if you think you're immune from that, you're a candidate that you're going to live an unbalanced life. Now remember, unbalanced tires may ride fine for a while, but eventually they will wear uneven and become dangerous. And that is also true for our lives. Titus 2, we're going to look at these verses because I believe here we find the kind of balances or the weight adjustments, and I want to suggest three areas of our lives that need to be balanced by the work of the Holy Spirit. Three relational areas of our lives that need to be proportioned according to God's Word. Three of them, if we're looking at our lives revolving around Jesus, the center, as we sang it earlier, such a perfect song. Jesus is the center of it all, but there's so much that's going to revolve and rotate around that that we want to make sure that it's balanced. And so the number one relationship, yes, is our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you may have guessed that or figured that out, but Titus 2, the writer here, Paul probably writing, is writing to Christians. People who already have a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. Let me be very emphatic. Leave Jesus Christ out of your life and you will never have a balanced life. Never. I don't care how smooth it might seem to be now, if you leave Jesus out of your life, you will never have a balanced life. It is impossible. Very simply put, everyone has a Lord and Master in their life. A Lord and Master. For some it's money, for some it's fame, for some it's their career, for some it's a hobby. Whatever it is, it might be even your family. But that can become an idolatrous thing and your life becomes out of balance if Jesus is not there and is not in the right relationship to you. So here's the test question on God's balance computer is Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Ask yourself that. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? I can't answer that for you, but you can. And I know this very moment, as that question goes forth, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Is he Lord over everything? If you say no, it means that your life is out of balance and will eventually lead to serious spiritual dangers. Yes, later, way down the road, if Jesus is not part of your life and he's not Lord of your life, your life may be going on quite smooth like an unbalanced tire, but eventually it's going to wear uneven and it will catch up to you. And if Jesus is not in your life, down at the end of the road of your life, there's only one set of safe tires that's going to get you through into heaven, and that's a right relationship to Jesus Christ now. Amen. Right now. Yes. So when we cross that line as we're driving down the highway of life, there's only one set of tires. Our lives, if they're properly balanced, is one that's going to get us into heaven, and that is our relationship to Jesus Christ. But it's also only Jesus Christ that's going to get us through the difficult times and the hard times. And if we have to go into the back roads and drive through ruts and crevices and bumps and potholes and all those kinds of things that life can throw at us, and we even have to go off-road, quote, as God leads, there's only one set of balanced tires that's going to get us through that, and that is Jesus Christ has got to be Lord of our lives. So is your life balanced there? That's where you start. Now, let me be very pointed, because this Titus 2 passage is very specific, and it would not be fair if we just skip through this very quickly. This Titus 2 passage is about the lordship of Jesus Christ that is manifest in a Christ-like attitude and a Christ-like character and a Christ-like lifestyle, as the writer here lists a number of things. Yes, this passage is about confessing and trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, gets us to heaven, but it's also about living our life. This passage is very clear and very specific to both men and women. Look at the language of this passage and some of the words and some of the phrases that involved a balanced life when we say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just listen for a moment. Temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, love and endurance, reverent in the way they live, not slanderers, not addicted to wine. We could put in substance abuse there, or TV or computers, etc., etc. An example, doing what is good, teaching and showing integrity, seriousness, sound in speech, and no one has nothing bad to say about you. Wow. That's Christ-like character. And that's not an exhaustive list. That's a Christ-like, spirit-filled life. This is the walk that backs up the talk. That's a very foundational part of a balanced life. See, it's one thing to leave Jesus out of your life totally. That's an unbalanced life, and it's going to catch up with you at the end of your life when you cross into that final highway into eternity. That's one thing to leave Jesus out of your life. But you know, it's another thing to say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life, but to live no way that's going to have this Christ-like character in your life. Now, I'm not judging that you're not going to make it into heaven. That's not for me to judge. We're saved by God's grace through faith alone and nothing else. But if your life is not balanced in the lordship of Jesus Christ over every area of your life, and some of these things that Paul was writing here to Titus, the tires of your life are going to start to wear thin, and they're going to start to wobble, and there's going to be problems. So is he Lord of your life? Every area of your life, not just to get you to heaven, but Lord of your money, your treasures, your time, your talent, the relationships that you have. Second balancing area that we need to focus on that I think he addresses here is your relationship to your family. Your relationship to your family. Leave out the proper balance with your family, and you will guaranteed live an unbalanced life that will show up later in life with problems, be it in your marriage or with your children or with both. It will. Leave out the proper balance, a God-pleasing, God-ordained, Christ-centered balance in relationship to your family, and it will show up later with problems in your marriage and with your children or all of that. It will. It's inevitable. The Apostle Paul's epistle to Titus, here, to Timothy, all address this. His writing to the Thessalonians, his writing to the church at Colossae, are all filled with exhortations for balancing our lives in reference to our family. Verses 3 through 5 in this Titus 2 is a very serious exhortation to a Christian wife, a Christian mother, a Christian woman. That's not my main concern. I'm not addressing men or women or husbands or wives, even though that's here and that's innate in this passage. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 teaches men that they are to manage their homes well. I mean, let that grab you. If there's anything in life that disgusts me, that really gets me angry, I'd love to take a 2x4. I'm just being honest, okay? Not necessarily literally. Well, maybe. Is wimpy men that don't manage their homes well. Like, okay, wife, it's all up to you. You take care of it, you know? I'll go out and make a few bucks and I'll bring the paycheck home and it's up to you. But Paul's writing here to Timothy says, teach men are to manage their homes well. Colossians 3 speaks very directly to husbands, wives, and parents and their relationship to their children. And we're talking about a balanced life here. Listen to some of the language that he uses about men and women, husbands and wives and children. To be busy at home. He's addressing this to wives. To be busy at home, to be... I don't know if I want to say the next word. To be subject to their husbands. Then to husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them and do not embitter your children. That's all in this big picture of a Christ-like balanced life. Your relationship to your family. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, and parents to their children. Without going down a long rabbit trail that we could spend another hour just interacting on, if there's one major area in our culture that we, in America, that we are seeing it's just corrupt and falling apart and being devastated, it's the family. Now we could say, well, America needs God and America needs Jesus and let's pray for revival. Yeah, it's wonderful. That's fine. But when you start talking about praying for revival and praying for Jesus and praying for God, it's going to shake up families. It's going to deal with the home. There'll be no more absentee dads. Dads will be there. Moms will be there. Very foundational part of a balanced life. See, it's one thing to leave Jesus out of your life, and that leads to serious consequences in your personal life. It's another thing to leave Jesus out of your family life and the problems that that's going to produce. This is why a person can be a Christian, and they can be, quote, saved, born again, and on their way to heaven, they've confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord, and their life still be out of balance because their relationship to their family is just messed up. And there's no balance there. And they've got, like, I got Jesus, you know, I've got that. He's there, and I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. And, man, I love my brothers and sisters in Christ, but family is just yuck. Husbands, neglect your wives and your life will be unbalanced. Wives, neglect your husbands and your life will be unbalanced. Parents, neglect your children and your life will be unbalanced. And I, as a pastor all these years, I just sit back and go, why do some Christians just don't get it? It's like they miss it. And they have believed Satan's lies, like, yeah, I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven and I want to trust Jesus and I believe in Jesus and praise God on Sundays. You know, it's wonderful to sing these songs. But then their home life and their family life, it's all about hobbies and it's all about success and it's all about the career. And it's all about money and it's all about stuff. And then they wonder why their family life is so out of balance. See, this means that we will address our personal responsibilities for work versus hobbies and pleasure. We will address our relationship to our spouse and our children, quality time with them. The Holy Spirit will teach us about balancing work with fun and pleasure and vacations and spending and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with stuff if it's properly balanced. Okay, the third relational area that's so easy to be kind of unbalanced. Now, if this wasn't church on Sunday morning, we could stop right there and I could say, it's a nice business lecture, okay? We'll go to Bristol-Myers, we'll go to Bear's, and we'll do a nice little business lecture. You need to have your life balanced, you know, with your spiritual life and your relationship to your family, and just kind of end it right there. But we can't do that biblically. There's one more relationship. It's very important for a balanced life, and that's your relationship to ministry. Ministry. Verses 1 through 8 of Titus 2. Just in those verses, the word teach is mentioned 5 times. To be biblical is to see that all Christian men and women have a teaching ministry. And you're going, not me, not me. Yes, you. If you profess to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you have a teaching ministry. Women are to teach younger women. Men are to teach younger men. Teaching ministry to your own children within your own home. Teaching ministry within the body of Christ, the church. And that's just from Titus 2 alone. Now think about the Great Commission. You know, the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Jesus commissioning his disciples and everyone that professes to be his disciple and a follower of him. He says, I want you to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples by doing what? Teaching them to obey everything. That's almost like a four-letter word to some people. Teaching them. Who has the teaching ministry? Every one of us. Every one of us who profess faith in Jesus Christ. We're to make disciples. We're to teach. You say, but I'm not a teacher. I don't teach. That's not my problem. That's between you and God. He says, I want you to teach. Men, I want you to teach younger guys. Women, I want you to teach younger women. I want you to teach your children. I want you to go into the world and make disciples and to teach them everything I've commanded you. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. Every Christian has been given at least one supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit for ministry in the church. And I stress supernatural, that's the charismata, gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, in the Christian and Missionary Alliance and at Edinburgh Road Chapel, we are not cessationists. All those supernatural gifts are for the church today. And if you don't believe that, you're in the wrong church. I don't want anybody to leave. But that's what the Bible teaches. These gifts are given to the church. And you, if you've been born again and the Holy Spirit's come and indwelt you, you have at least one gift of the Spirit, one supernatural gift that God has given you for ministry within the body of Christ. And to neglect that, your life's unbalanced. To neglect that gift, certainly a gift of teaching is there, supernatural gift, but also teaching and going and making disciples. But all the gifts of the Spirit there for ministry in the body of Christ, and to neglect that ministry that God has given you is to lead an unbalanced life. That's a tough bullet for some Christians to bite, for some people to bite, especially in an age when everyone is so busy. Now, this is not in my notes, but I almost wrote it in because I've shared it before. If I ever hear this phrase, my plate is too full, I might scream. Now, we all have the same 24/7. We all have to work, and we have to have an income, and we pay bills, and we have spouses and kids and grandkids and all those kinds of things, and there's mortgages and rent and car payments and insurance. That's life. And you say, Pastor, my plate is too full. Boy, I struggle with this all week. How can I say this so gently but so firmly? If you're too busy for ministry in the body of Christ, something else has got to go. Your life is unbalanced. Because God has given you, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, a gift for ministry. The teaching, broad teaching ministry to teach younger men, younger women, to go and make disciples and to teach, but also a ministry, a very specific ministry. About 20 years ago at Edinburgh Chapel, I did a survey, and it was a handout. You know, I love handouts. I love to make copies and kill trees. And I guess maybe I'm still too old school about all the internet, computers, and email, and I'll do that. But I had this handout, a survey, that I asked a question. It was a very simple question. What do you do on Sunday nights? What do you do on Monday nights? What do you do on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? What do you do on those nights? Tough survey, right? So hard. I mean, I didn't get a whole lot of them turned back in. None of you came to the church then. No, just kidding. I remember a couple of them were turned in. Like, it's fresh in my mind. I don't think I have them. One, what do you do on Sunday night? I'm fixing lunches for the kids to go to school on Monday. That's legitimate, right? Okay. Now I got another one. What do you do on Sunday night? Spend time with my family. What do you do on Monday night? Spend time with my family. What do you do on Tuesday? Spend time with my family. What do you do on Wednesday night? Oh, I go to a little prayer group that meets in the city somewhere. What do you do on, spend time with my family. What do you do on Friday? Spend time with my family. What do you do on Saturday? Spend time with my family. Do you think that's an unbalanced life? I think so. The body of Christ is the body of Christ on earth today. The church. And God has given gifts for ministry within the body of Christ to build up the body of Christ. But not only is it for the good for the body, it's the good for us that we use our gifts to build up that body. And to neglect ministry is to live an unbalanced life. Now, I got to be really cautious here. Because I don't want to discourage anybody, and I don't want anybody to feel guilty. But ministry within the body of Christ comes out of joy. Not, Somebody's got to teach those five-year-old boys, you know, I don't want to do it, but somebody's got to do it. Woe is me. No, it never comes out of that kind of, let's put a square peg in a round hole kind of, we just need to fill a slot. It should come out of, our ministry should come out of, Lord, you've given me this gift. You've given me this ability, this supernatural ability, the power of your Holy Spirit, and I want to do this for your glory. And it is so exciting. I have to confess, some of you, you know, you've been part of ERC longer than I have, and you know, I'm really deep down inside a very shy, introverted person. Really, I am. But yet I can get up on Sunday mornings, and I've been doing this for almost 45 years and preaching, and I love to do it. Why? Because it's from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll have to confess that after almost 45 years, I don't need any more governing board meetings. half kidding, okay? Meetings kind of can get to you after a while, but ministry just kind of like, Lord, man, this is so awesome. This is so awesome. And even sitting down and counseling with someone that comes to my office, it's like, oh man, I don't want to talk to them again. But now the real part of it is, this is exciting because God's ordained all of this. You know, this is so supernatural. Just wanted to tell you a funny story. One time I did fall asleep in my office. Some of you might know this story. Years ago, I had an older woman come to talk to me, and it was after lunch. You know, it's a dangerous time. And my nose had really been bothering me, sinuses. So instead of taking one Dristan, I took two. And she came in, and she sat in one of my famous blue chairs, and I sat in the other one. And all of a sudden, man, that sun coming through and lunch and the Dristan kicked in and she was boring and she didn't have much to say and it wasn't very important. And I start nodding off. And she goes, Pastor, are you sleeping? And I said, yes. I had to be honest. I was caught, man. I was caught. But that was the only time ever I think fell asleep, at least to my knowledge. Maybe I did and nobody woke me up and told me. My point is, though, it is a joy. When you are ministering out of, this is what God wants me to do, it's not like this is a burden. This is, oh, this is terrible, or nobody else will do it, or, okay, I'll minister because I'm going to be there in the building anyway, so give me a little thing and I'll do it. No. What does God want you to do? You want a balanced, exciting, going down the highway, running smooth at 120 miles an hour, get in the middle of the gift and the ministry that God has for you. It's an exciting way to live. Just awesome. Okay, let's summarize. Three critical weights, if you please, for balancing our way of life, our relationship to Jesus Christ, to confess Him as our Lord, and to begin to demonstrate that Christ-like character that Paul writes here. Our relationship to our family, that involves our relationship to our spouse. And I know the Holy Spirit's going to speak to some of you men. I know that right now He is. Your relationship to your children. Your relationship to ministry. Your relationship to teaching, to disciple-making, to using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is your life balanced? Is your life balanced? Only when those three areas are balanced. If not, like an unbalanced tire, it's going to ride smooth for a while. But pretty soon the threads are going to start to show and you're going to get unbalanced and your life's going to begin to wobble. Is Jesus Lord over every area of your life? Your family and ministry. Let's pray. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, it is so awesome to know You, that You have such wonderful things for us and how we should live. And we want to live balanced lives. for your glory. We want to run smooth, and we don't want to risk blowouts and wobbling front ends and hitting potholes later that are the tires of our life can't handle that. Begin to teach us, Lord. Show us these things, and by your Spirit's enabling, help us to apply them in our daily lives. Now, Father, we leave this building today, and I pray that we'll be moment by moment breathing in the presence of your Holy Spirit. For the glory of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We're dismissed.